Hey everyone, this is Chris from Accent Out Loud. This is, I think, episode 8 or 9. What I really want to talk about today, and just something that's been on my mind a little bit more recently, is sentence stress and why that's important, why you should think about it, and how it's actually going to change how you think about communicating, period. Now, in a sentence, there are a bunch of words, right? You have, I don't know, 2 words, 3 words, 4 words, 5 words, 6 words, 7 words, whatever, up to infinite amount of words. But there's actually 1 or 2 key words that are most important. If you had to rank the words in order of importance, there's 1 or 2 that are more easily identified as more important. Hold on for a second. We're gonna go through this and I'm gonna explain my thought process. It may not make sense now, but we're gonna flesh out the idea. Now, it's not only what words you use, but the way you say them that's important, right? It's not just the content, but it's the delivery, right? The sort of a metaphor or an analogy is sort of in dancing. I used to b-boy back in the day, and you learn these moves, you learn these steps, these sequences, but two different dancers, even if they do the same moves, they do them slightly differently. There's a nuance to it. There's a subtlety that's individual, right? If you were to imagine in another analogy, two photographers, they're asked to shoot a scene. They're given a camera, they still might change or take a different perspective, right? They're not going to do it the same way. So depending on your intentions for a sentence, what you are doing with that sentence, what you're trying to convey, it will change how you deliver the message. Now, back to that photography analogy, let's say there's a more definitive task or message to convey about an image, right? Let's say you have a busy intersection. You have a busy intersection and the goal is to actually focus on one specific individual. And you give two photographers the same camera and you say, look, take a picture. I want you to focus on that one individual. They might still do that differently, right? They may compose the image one way or another that would highlight that one individual. They might edit it in post-production and make that one individual color while everyone else is black and white. That's another way to focus on that one person. You might change the focal length so only that one person is in at the correct focal length, so they're sharp, they're clear, and everyone else is more blurred out in the background. And the idea behind that is that there are different ways that we communicate in order to highlight a specific word or a specific idea that we want to convey to the listener. Now, that's important. And I don't think that's something that you necessarily are taught when you're learning English, when you're learning English, especially as a second language learner. What are the 1 or 2 words that are important, and how do you actually show or point or guide your listener to those specific words that are intentional, right? And it also, there's sort of a meta part to it where you have to think, what are your intentions behind your interaction with the other person? Are you trying to convince them of something? Are you trying to provide an answer? Are you asking a clarification question? Depending on what your intentions are with your words, it'll change how they need to be organized so that you can best make it easy for the listener to understand. Now, the way that we do this in English is we alternate or we change and modify 3 aspects of a word. We modify how loud we say that word, the length of how long we say that sound or that word, and the pitch, right? when I just said that, in the pitch. Pitch goes up, right? I highlight that word a little bit more differently than the rest of the words. And that sort of perks interest in you as the listener to know, pay attention to this word, right? So let's take an example of a sentence. I don't think he should get that job, right? I don't think he should get that job. 8 words. And depending on what part of the, which word I stress, it'll change the meaning behind those 8 words or the overall meaning just ever so slightly, right? I'll just go through them really quickly. I don't think he should get that job. 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 And I don't think he should get that job. Now, it might sound a little funny when I'm saying it all just back to back to back, but there's this nuance that native English speakers know and sort of can internalize behind the subtle ways you change your pronunciation or your sentence stress that communicate something subtle and different. Even though the words are exactly the same way, or exactly the same, I don't change the words, because I've said this overall sentence differently, it changes the overall subtle meaning behind it, right? Let's go to the first one. I don't think you should get that job. Maybe that in that sentence, I'm stressing I, which may mean that somebody else thinks he should get that job, just not me. I don't think he should get that job, right? The next one, I don't think he should get that job. And that might mean more, it's not true that I think he should get the job, right? I don't think he should get the job. I don't think he should get the job. But already now, you can hear the difference between the first and the second one. I don't think he should get that job, but maybe somebody else does, if I said it that first way. And then second way, I don't think he should get that job. It's more a statement about my opinion in that second one. The third one, I don't think he should get that job. And that might mean more, I'm not sure he'll get that job. There's a sense of uncertainty, right? I don't think he should get the job. Fourth one, I don't think he should get that job. Maybe I think somebody else should get that job, right? I don't think he should get that job. But again, like I said before, sentence number 4, I don't think he should get that job, is very different from the first one. I don't think he should get that job, right? There's these subtle nuances. They're related in idea, but they're starting to lead the listener down a very different path in terms of what I'm trying to convey. Number 5, I don't think he should get that job. Maybe he's going to get it, but I think it's wrong that he's going to get it. I don't think he should get that job. 6. I don't think he should get that job. Right? Maybe there's that underlying disapproval that I have that he's automatically getting it. Right? Maybe I want to convey that there should have been more of a rigorous interview process or that there should be consideration for other candidates. I don't think he should get that job. Number 7, I don't think he should get that job. Maybe I think he should get another job. I don't think he should get that job, right? There's a shift in what I'm trying to convey based on what part of that sentence I'm stressing. And finally, number 8, I don't think he should get that job. And that one, maybe he should pursue something else, right? Maybe he shouldn't get that job being that occupation. Maybe he should go do a 180 and do something completely different. But again, these are all subtle things that are happening and being communicated by native English speakers who have more proficient use of the language that might be going over the heads of non-native English speakers because they don't realize the subtlety in these interactions or these discussions, right? Maybe you're having a conversation with your boss, or actually, maybe let's take that back. Maybe we'll still use the same sentence. I don't think he should get that job. Maybe you overheard your boss talking to his boss about your job application and your recent interview with them for this potential promotion. Okay? And you overhear, I don't think he should get that job. Right? That's a very different communicated idea than I don't think he should get that job. Right? Because the first one, I don't think he should get that job, means you got the job. But there's maybe some disappointment or disapproval that you're automatically getting it. Or, if you heard the second option, I don't think he should get that job. Maybe they want to consider you for another position because they feel you're better qualified for that second position. But if you can't read between the lines on these two things, all you might understand is, I don't think he should get that job, which can sound at face value very disheartening or very, very worrisome or very negative information. Right? Bad news. But it's getting more proficient at understanding how to use this sentence stress to convey your message more accurately and being able to interpret another person's sentence stress to read between the lines. Now, if you are having difficulty catching it, like I said before, the way that we are doing this in English and stressing a specific word is through loudness. When I talk louder, that one word that I say a little bit louder, it pulls your attention a little bit more. It draws your attention in a little bit more, right? Two, length. You can imagine how length really can draw out someone's attention, right? I'm tired. You can imagine a small kid saying, I'm tired, mommy. When they drag out that tired, you really pay attention to that tired word more, and you really get that idea that this kid is maybe over-exaggerating, but they feel the burden or they feel the effects of being tired and they want to convey that to you. Pitch. If I change the pitch, if I go higher, right? If I go higher, it means that there's something different about that one word. It just elevates, like literally elevates in terms of pitch. It jumps up a bit, a pitch, to be even louder, to be even different in frequency than other words. So certain people are better at or more comfortable with one, two, or three, loudness, length, pitch. But the idea is to be a bit more proficient in noticing it. You don't have to use all three at the same time. You can use one, you can use two. Some people have one or two that they use more often, but the idea is getting comfortable with it and being more able to, on command, use one of these three techniques, loudness, length, pitch, to be able to manipulate your words so you can control what you're communicating to other people more intentionally. And I think that that's powerful. I think a lot of times when people are communicating, especially non-native English speakers, there's an idea or a sense of not knowing or losing control or not being in control and not being able to communicate your wants and needs or what you are thinking effectively to other people. But this is a literal thing that you can control if you're more intentional. Right? What, like, this is something that you need to start paying attention to when you're communicating in English, to see how other people are doing it, see how you're doing it, compare, contrast, see, choose a famous or role model for you that you want to mimic, how they command the attention of the room, how they give their public speech. Listen to these things that they're doing with these key words in mind, loudness, length, pitch, and see how they do it. They do it, right? Exaggerate yourself. When you're really loud, it can change something. Or if you drag the word, or if you change the pitch. If you change the pitch. Like, practice, okay, maybe I'm going to insert the stress here, or maybe I'm going to insert the stress at the end of the word, or at the end of the sentence, or at the beginning of the sentence, or at the middle of the sentence. Changing that pitch or changing that that stress is vital to knowing what you want clarification for. If you had a question, or if somebody misheard you, maybe they say, oh, you want to meet in Chinatown? And then you say, no, let's meet in Gastown. You really draw the attention to the word Gastown, and that hones in your listener to say, why did he stress that word? Oh, that word is different from what I was thinking, aka Chinatown. Now I've had clarification. Right? This is all part of that good communication that is necessary and effective in being able to draw your listener to that one or two words that you need. Hope this was helpful. Let me know if you are interested in this kind of work. I haven't seen too much about it online, on YouTube or podcasts or Instagram. So maybe this is something I can talk about a little bit more if you guys are interested, but that's my take on it. Hope you all are having a great day, great week. It was a long weekend for us not too long ago, so hope everyone's well rested and back to get on the grind. Cheers.